listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, December 7th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here as always, and I'm really excited about tonight's program.
Oh, I am too. I'm very excited to have you. I'm very excited to have our special guest.
And it's a full moon.
And it's a full moon, so that just ties into what we're going to be talking about, too.
Exactly.
And whenever it's a full moon, it really makes it easier to find my dogs in the backyard at night when they're outside. Welcome to those joining us live. Very glad to have you. And thanks to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Of course, Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Of course, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So like I said, very excited for tonight's topic. We have a very special guest, and we're going to be covering astrology, in star stuff and what we're made of and how it's all kind of tied together. And to delve into this fascinating topic, we have Dr. Zach Frame joining us.
Hello. It's so good to be here and talk to all you lovely folks this evening. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I'm just thrilled to have you. And, you know, one of the things I love about something like this is that, you know, we see you, quote unquote, in the chat every week, and we get a lot of great, you know, feedback, great commentary and comments, but it's, bringing you on live, it just kind of adds a whole new dimension. I love it.
It's really exciting. Anytime I get an opportunity or a platform to geek out on astrology, I am 100% on that podium.
So I have a question, because Zach, you and I are kind of friends, and we go back a long way, and so I know a little bit that our audience doesn't know, but you've been studying metaphysics for a great number of years. You also do intuitive readings, tarot readings, and you got into astrology a number of years ago. What do you feel, from your perspective, makes most sense to you? For you, and what,
like,
you
in terms of, like, in terms of just all, like, the gambit of, like, everything, like, what makes the most sense,
like, what works for you best and what makes most sense to you? I know, because you're very analytical, you like to know what's going on, you're not a flake.
You're not wrong. And it's very Capricorn of me. Like, Capricorn very much needs to, like, see it, to believe it. A lot of the earth signs are kind of like that. So in that regard, both, I like to use astrology if I'm trying to understand a person, like, they're kind of like where they're coming from, like how they see the world. If I want to understand how their lens works, I'll use astrology. But if I want to you know, coach somebody through a situation or actually kind of like see some circumstances around somebody's situation, I prefer to use tarot because I'm so seeing is believing. If my spirit guides tell me something, I'm not going to them because I can't see them, I can't hear them. It's just an intuitive thing, and that critical voice in my head is so loud that if I have a card that's outside of myself, a tangible thing to kind of like help convey that message, then I tend to be much more I can do more with that information and deliver it more confidently.
That's interesting that you say that, because it's situational is what you're saying and what you feel applies to someone. But when you say, because I want to go back to when you say it's very Capricorn of you.
Sure.
One thing about astrology, it's not just about the 12, you know, primary signs. It's all the other factors about how the stars lined up when you're born. So when, for instance, you're a Capricorn, but you're a Capricorn in so far as, but there's so many other things in your chart that would also lend to, you know, your character.
That's 100% accurate. And I think like when we talk about the star stuff and we talk about what makes us, all 12 signs are in your chart, every single one of us. So you have Capricorn somewhere in your chart, and it's going to rule over an area of your life depending on the time that you were born. So when we study astrology, like everyone, like, hey, baby, what's your sign? They're usually talking about your sun sign, which represents your ego, you know, and how we kind of exude our presence into the world in that way. You know, whereas Mars is going to be how we assert ourselves. Venus is what we love and how what we find beautiful. Mercury is how we think and communicate. You know, the moon is our emotions. So the sun and the moon together, those placements are going to have a lot more to do with your personality than just your sun. So yeah, I'm a Capricorn, but I'm also a Leo moon, which is why I love the stage. You know, emotionally, you can just walk into the room and you're going to know what emotions I'm feeling. Go ahead, Michael.
You know, this is a fascinating discussion for me because I come to this as more of a layman. I know of it. Yeah, I've been in the periphery of it. I know, you know, some things. But, you know, listening to this, like, I hadn't really considered moon signs before. I wouldn't even know what my moon sign would be. It's a fascinating thing. And
go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a fascinating thing. And, you know, Dr. Vicky had talked about you being analytical, which, you know, I can definitely empathize with. But I think it's that analytical nature that brings you to trying to kind of discern these different pieces and how they fit together. Does that sound right?
Yeah, for sure. And when I, you know, first kind of started exploring it, you know, it's like, yeah, there are only 12 signs, but you've got 10 planets, 5 comets, countless, what do they call them? Stationary stars, fixed stars that also have, you know, so there's a lot. There's a lot that you can consider. But I think what I'm learning, probably the part of it that makes it relevant to most of us, is understanding that we all contain aspects of all the signs. And so knowing about yourself, of course, hugely important, definitely do it. But by learning all of the signs, whether or not you have significant placements, you're still learning about humanity and you're learning about a part of yourself. Say, for example, you have Aquarius ruling over your third house. Right. That doesn't really mean much, you know, if there's no planets there. But if you don't have any planets, the third house is your area of life that represents siblings, short travel. It is communication. And so if you have a sign ruling over that area of life, you are likely to be affected by those characteristics in that way, if that makes sense.
Can you explain what a house is?
So the math is lost on me. I'll be upfront with any, because a lot of this stuff, like if you got me lost at sea, I would not be able to get you home. Like that's not where I'm at. But in terms of like the some of the technical stuff. So the moment that you are born, there is maybe back up all of these signs every sign of the zodiac is a literal constellation in the sky. And so the moment that you are born, there is a constellation that is rising over the eastern horizon in that moment. When you when you calibrate that, from that point, all 12 houses are set from there. So like every 30 degrees, there's, you know, you're in the new house, first, second through 12, and there's 12 houses. Kind of like there's 12 signs. The houses right. and the signs are very similar in terms of their theme, but they're not exactly the same. So that's kind of what that is. So does that answer your question?
So there could be planets rotating at the time of your birth, you know, or, mm-hmm. you know, doing their thing, but doesn't necessarily mean that they're in a particular part of the clock or in the house.
It does. So like your birth chart is that snapshot. Right. So all of the planets are somewhere in your chart, but you right. just, you know, you got, I mean, I guess you use an app nowadays to kind of look at it and see where they are. I think I missed your question there. I missed the point.
No, it's just understanding for the audience to understand what a house is. So it's basically, think of it as a clock where there's all these planets lined up, but it's what part of the clock they're in.
It's an area of life. We can say it like that. A house is an area of life.
Okay. All right. I was just trying to give a visual.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
And that was, you know, thank you for that, because that helped me as well. And I'm also thinking about this, and you know, just like you, I'm kind of one of those, I need to see it to believe it, because I think there are a lot of people that are very compelling. They have very, you know, they have a knack for honing in on something. And there are people that, you know, like cold readers, like, you know, your John Edwards and people of the world, that would tend not to be as perhaps honest or ethical in the practice. They might be manipulating, you know, things like this, but when I kind of hear about it, and just like we were talking about a story prior to when we came on, and I'll just briefly say that, you know, it was something that Dr. Vicky had told me that was very, very accurate, and it just kind of changes your perception on it. So it's kind of the seeing to believing. So you're talking about...
psychic thing as opposed to astrology. And
right. Well, in the concept of when you see the accuracy, it's more compelling. So I think that's kind of what I'm getting at. In that divination of accuracy of, you know, what you're kind of looking at, is it kind of, and getting back to the, you know, kind of analytical side, the ability to take these different components, but also to, you know, kind of delve into it. And I don't know if I'm doing this well, but I was hoping to also kind of segue into the psychology aspect you had mentioned earlier. Mm.
You know, if I can inject here for a second, because this is a question I was going to ask you also. Tabitha's written about it, Zach. She says in the chat, what about the 13th, the new 13th sign? And she's like, I kind of feel about it like losing Pluto as a planet, but she'd like to know your thoughts. And my understanding, of course, astrology in how it's been kind of understood over all these years is based on a knowledge of blah, blah, blah. But now we have a greater knowledge of the universe and the galaxy and what's there. How does that affect or influence what astrologers see now, Zach?
It's really interesting, because I had to do a little bit of research on that for myself. And I think kind of like the general consensus is among most astrologers is that the ecliptic is set, and I haven't seen a lot of astrologers adopt this new sign. It hasn't been I think it's been there, like the star constellation is there, and it's interesting because like I think it's somewhere between like Scorpio and Libra in terms of like where they said the sign was, and they more or less superimposed it over the signs that were already there. So if I'm being honest and I'm sipping the conspiracy Kool-Aid, it was kind of thrown out there to debunk astrology, to make it seem less.
How does that, isn't there an old Chinese or Asian calendar that has 13 signs?
There might be. I haven't researched that as much. I'm more into like the Western astrology, and the Western astrology hasn't like taken that into consideration. I'm not sure. I haven't even really seen it from a lot of Vedic astrologers. That's not to say that they don't. It's just outside of my realm, because there are so many branches of astrology, which, you know, kind of makes it hard. And it's part of the reason why the science community doesn't consider astrology a science, is because there isn't a unifying astrology. You know what I mean? There isn't one principle for Sagittarius that applies to all Sagittarians.
Well, and I would think that some of these different kind of, you know, branches of astrology or different variants might conflict with one another as well and contradict.
And I think that's yes, probably sometimes, but like I feel like there are certain characteristics of signs that are, I think the contradiction happens within the own within somebody's chart, you know, because if somebody has, say, they're, you know, a Sagittarius sun, but they're a Virgo moon, you know what I mean? And that Virgo moon, they happen to be a little more emotional, and that, oh, you know what I mean? Like the emotional aspect of it overshadows. And then this is like, oh, well, that Sagittarius person doesn't act like a Sagittarius at all. Well, because they have this really heavy moon influence that's doing some other crazy crap in the chart. You know what I mean? And so that's what I think makes it difficult, because science wants to stop something. Science wants to be able to segment it so that they can study it. And if you can't get a part, you know, if you take one little piece out of an astrological birth chart, depending on how intertwined it is, it just kind of makes it difficult for that kind of study, you know?
Yeah. Dr. Mike has mentioned in the chat, Pluto's still there, and just because they say it's not a planet, he says, why would that change anything?
Yeah. That's a good point. Semantics. It's a dwarf planet. I mean, I'd say, hey, you know, let's keep Pluto as a planet and add all the other dwarf planets. We'll have, you know, a good number.
And that's exactly right. For intents and purposes of astrology, they're all considered planets. The sun is considered a planet. The moon is considered a planet. And even the comets are considered planets.
Oh, definitely harkening back to that, you know, kind of ancient kind of wisdom. You know, again, you know, looking at the stars is the first kind of calendar to try to gauge life, find patterns. And I'm curious, you know, I definitely want to get into kind of your thoughts on the psychology of it, but I'm also thinking about, you know, we talk about, we've been discussing how astrological signs may impact a person's, you know, behavior, character, personality, and maybe even some other decision-making capabilities. But I'm wondering, kind of akin to the nature versus nurture debate, where in this place we can put in, you know, astrology is tying into nature, kind of the things that go into your instinctual development. But what about the nurture side, the things that are learned, the emotional experiences?
100%. So, like, you're not wrong like that. And that's why another reason why it's hard to pin it down. One of the readers that I was with this weekend, you know, a lot of times I can guess with around 70% accuracy. I can ask a few probing questions and I can get pretty close. But I was not getting that. I asked her, I was like, hey, you know, are you a blah? I don't even remember what it was that I asked her. Something that was quiet. I think I asked her if she was a Taurus or something. And she's like, no, I'm a Sagittarius. And I like stopped in my tracks, because I was like, you know, Sagittarius tend to be fiery, you know, a little more, or all these stereotypical things that I'm like, okay. Because you have to be careful not to stereotype just because somebody is that sign. You don't want to put them into the box. You know what I mean? It's just sometimes for me, I look at it as a lens to just kind of understand somebody's perspective, you know, but the trauma, like knowing that this woman, you know, had a really awful husband of like 30 years, narcissistic, abusive, like knowing what she's been through, you know what I mean? That, you know, nurture kind of experience situation definitely is going to have an impact on those astrological placements.
Could it also be that there's other planets in her chart that is contributing to her disposition?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I did pull. We did later, because like she said she had never looked at her birth chart because she didn't know what time she was born, and she didn't know, like, she was like, I don't know the situation, didn't dig into that, but she just didn't know. And so I asked her if she'd ever divined for a time. It may not be accurate, but, you know, we can go for it, you know. And she, you know, it was the first time that she had actually looked at her birth chart. So I was going to say something else, and it left my head. I forgot what I was going to say after
that. Her disposition.
Oh, yeah. So when we're kind of looking at that, I think that was an example. She had a Virgo moon, like she was a Sagittarius with a Virgo moon. And I asked her that, because the moon is your emotional, how you express your emotions, I asked her if she was very analytical with her emotions, because Virgo is very analytical, very discerning, like very particular, very analyzing. You know, she's like, I'm always analyzing my emotions, analyzing everything really, but always analyzing my emotions and the emotions of others. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, just really interested in, like, because we have been to a few events together, and I've attended maybe one or two of her classes, so I knew her in that way, but I didn't know her on a personal or emotional level. So when we put in the birth chart information, and I'm like, oh, Chiron is the wounded healer. This is one that it's a comet that represents an area of your life where you've been made to feel shamed or awkward. But the idea is that trauma or that childhood, whatever the case is, because it doesn't have to be childhood, it can be anywhere between, like, you know, birth and 30. But that area you learn and grow from. And then you can use that as a form to heal other people, like other people who have experienced the same kind of trauma. It's kind of part of your quote unquote purpose is to, you know, be that guiding light for people by learning what it is you need to learn from Chiron. And so, not knowing anything about this person, I could say within, you know, give or take a couple of years from the degree of Chiron. So if Chiron's like in the seventh degree, then somewhere between 4 and 9, there was probably some sort of event that caused blah. And then depending on the sign that it's in, you know, if it's Libra, you know, Libra is all about relationships. So maybe around that age, you had someone, you know, violate that was close to you in a relationship, something in that situation. Mm-hmm. So then you begin to kind of poke out. Now, yeah, everybody has childhood trauma. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like everybody is going to have something somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, but again, it's not unlike the tarot in that regard, because, like, again, the tarot is a reflection of the human condition, you know, yeah. And so everybody's experienced the Three of Swords. You know what I mean? If you pull a Three of Swords for somebody, somebody's going to relate to that because everybody's felt heartbroken before at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So there's some stuff that, you know, kind of requires a little look into it, but that's why I think of it as kind of a psychological tool, because it does
absolutely. And what I'm really
sorry, I think Dr. Kevin has just asked a really good question in the chat, which segues into where I think you're going, Michael. He says, are there instances in your personal experiences suggest other psychological influences are working in tandem with astrology? So in other words, let me read it again. Instances of personal experience that suggest other psychological influences, you know, working in tandem with astrology. So is there a predisposition or something that is, like, I guess what it would be is some people can manage trauma better than others.
Hmm.
And others are kind of, I don't like the word destined to, but the fate would be that they would have some kind of trauma that would help them evolve. So
that's really interesting because, you know, one of the books that I read, I don't remember, I want to say Robert Forrest, I think, he talks a lot about the transits and stuff because, you know, that we've had the discussion, you know, here before on fate versus free will and stuff, and astrology kind of gets into like the planets are fixed, you know what I'm saying? Like they're doing their thing, and that's kind of fate in a way, you know, and but they're what we do and how we respond to those fated circumstances is where the free will comes in. If I understand your question in terms of like the kind of like the personal experience, the psychological influences working in tandem with astrology, I think, okay, so the biggest one is the book that I had published recently, right? Savage Sonnets, Finding Freedom Through Poetry, shameless plug there. When I was doing that, when I was getting ready to have it published, I didn't really want to, because a lot of the poems were, it was personal, and it was like my own coping mechanism, right? Mm-hmm. But there was some weird thing that was happening with Uranus, some weird aspect that was happening in my chart that only happens once every 184 years. and when that was happening, and then the person knocked on my door and said, hey, do you have anything that's ready to be published? I thought, this is a sign if I ever saw right. it. You know what I mean? So I had a few projects I was working on. I had a tarot workbook that I was working on. I had snippets of a memoir. I had a few, but the most complete thing I had were my sonnets, because that's one thing that life doesn't, you know, it isn't short on, and that's content to get frustrated about. So I definitely, you know, kept that going. But I had a lot of anxiety about it because it was very personal. When you look at my personal birth chart, when you look at my birth chart, I have Scorpio on the midheaven. So like your midheaven is 12 o'clock on your birth chart. It is the most public point of your chart. It's your professional, isn't it? Your profession. It's what you do, or what you're likely to be good at and what you contribute to the rest of the world. Well, mine's in Scorpio. Scorpio mm-hmm. is very private. Scorpio doesn't want to like share a lot of information. Scorpio wants to keep their feelings to themselves. And so it just kind of made sense that my most private crap would be put on display for the rest of the world to see. So I went with it. I just kind of swallowed it. I didn't reply to the publisher for a week because I was so freaked out that he said congratulations. And then we went with it. So it was good.
Dr. Kevin is quoting you, you know, in the chat room.
Is he?
Yes, he is, from your book.
Oh,
I love that. And you know, we have no problem with shameless right. plugs here. Let's plug away. Yes, but you know, when it listening to this and you know, kind of hearing this discussion, one thing that I absolutely take away is how the psychology of understanding, you know, astrology and how it kind of your relationship that you build when you discuss the star chart and you kind of go into these details and you find the correlations and how things relate, what it is effectively doing is also in most, maybe most importantly, when what I'm hearing is it is a wonderful tool for empathy and for understanding, like you said earlier, Dr. Zach, understanding something from a person's perspective and the psychology of it that way and helping them heal. It seems just a phenomenal tool for engaging in empathy and connection.
I find it especially useful in relationship situations because compatibility is, and I was proven, I want to say proven wrong, because I did have one couple sit before me for a reading this last weekend, and their signs were not compatible. Like I just I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, you're a Capricorn with a Pisces moon, and ooh. You're a Gemini with a Libra moon.
Ooh.
And
that's a lot like, of duality going on there.
I know. Like there's no way. But they seem to be really great, and I think it's because they were both past their second Saturn return, so there were no F's to give. Sorry, there were no They were ready. They were good anyway. So it was but I intuitively I would not have pegged them to be successful, but they've been together for a year. They were planning on going to Europe. Who knows? More power to them.
I'm curious, you know, what was the feel that you had for their energy signatures, the vibe they were giving off?
They seemed great. Like they seemed like totally cool. I wouldn't have guessed their signs. You know, but they were like actually asking me to kind of look into their chart and see what I was like, all right, here we go.
Very interesting. And that's kind of where I think about the nurture aspects and how life experience and, you know, kind of choices, it's the balance, right, between what is kind of our predisposition and what is our choice based on, you know, experience, which is random in a lot of ways. Part of the wonderful chaos of existence that creates infinite diversity, because you have infinite possibility. And I just think about kind of the bell curve again of, you know, probability. And when I think about some of the very interesting things in all manner of things from astrology to, you know, readings and tarot, is the probabilities that come out of it. Because I'm always somebody that hopes in a lot of things. I think a lot of things are interesting and plausible. But because of some past experience, you know, random chance of this experience in this life and this time, I believed in something that I realized was completely untrue. So I'm very, you know, shy. It's like I, you know, fell off the horse. I'm like, oh, I just can't get back on. Yeah, in the sense that I'll say, yeah, I think that's interesting. That's plausible. Just like I think about life after death. I think there's so much good reason to think of it as being something that's real. Who knows what form it is? But there's also that one part of me that says, well, but maybe not. And maybe I just need to be okay. If this is all that it is, then that's okay, because this is a wonderful experience. So with that mindset of things that I think very well could be true and might be true, I always have that part of me that's like, maybe not. But when I see it's like one of those things where, because of this couple, and for a variety of reasons, there are the, you know, signs that may go into it, but there's the choices and the experiences that kind of help form that and shape the psychology and the personality therein. I will say, when I was younger, I always found it, you know, interesting thinking about astrology. I never got into it much, and I was kind of chuckling to myself earlier, thinking in my head, a lot of this is outside my wheelhouse, so I was thinking it's kind of all Greek to me, but the irony is a lot of it is Greek, but literally.
You know, I think you should get a reading by Zach one day, Michael.
I think it'd be really good.
What I'd like to bring up, though, in line with what you're saying, and I wonder if Zach will concur with this, because, you know, you could write about, I'm a Scorpio, not, honestly, not a typical Scorpio, I must say, because of other planets, but there's a volumes of information about Scorpio. So when you're reading a chart, looking at that chart, you also have to be very intuitive to extract what applies to the client. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. And it's really interesting, because, like, that's another reason why astrology isn't considered science. Because there is an understood level of intuition that comes with the expertise of the astrologer. And you can't quantify intuition, yeah, you know, but I can look at somebody's chart and I can, like, I mean, I'm looking at the same placements for any client that, like, gives me their information. But when I'm looking at it, there's certain things that stick out. And some of that can be, like, you can make a tree diagram, you know, be like, look at the moon. Is the moon, like, in a bad place? Okay, let's look at the sun. Okay, is the moon, is the blah? You know what I mean? Like, you can ask yourself, like, a series of questions, you know, but I think intuitively, a lot of that just happens, you know, and because you do, there is volume. I mean, you're totally right. I mean, you can look at one sign and you can find pages and books. There's books on single signs. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
you know.
I think the first time I had my chart read was about 40 years ago, and I've had a few people, but I've run across two others who've read my chart that are extraordinary astrologers, and both are retired now. But it blows my mind that they could, you know, kind of tune in. Other astrologers, it was more dry and mechanical, and there wasn't that feeling behind it where I didn't relate to what was saying, you know, what they were talking about. So,
you know, and I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dr. Zach, you were so right when you talked about it, you know, being so intuitive, and that varies from person to person. And it makes me think about those ineffable qualities, those heart, you can't quantify them. And even in the instances where you can try, it's almost impossible. And it makes me think about historians and the study of history, because that's kind of looked at by, you know, the hard sciences as a quasi-science too, because there's so much that you can't quantify, because there's so much about the individuals involved in history or those movements or the feelings. You can't quantify those. It's how do you broadcast that through time? And you're also relying on usually texts left over from often the victors, like the Romans, for so many cases. So in the same sense of, you know, you can't measure it because it's so much based on the intuition of the person like yourself. And I would very much love to get a reading someday, because I would be fascinated by it, and I would probably be pleasantly, you know, intrigued at how accurate it will probably end up being. And that's another thing that that is so interesting, is when it lines up and you just kind of feel it. But hey,
you just got a client out of tonight, probably more.
Sure,
I'll bet
you. Hey, I'm ready. Let's roll. We'll dig into it.
I know we're going a little bit long, and I'm going with the flow. So, Dr. Vicky, anything, you know, what your thoughts are on cards, I'll go with it. But I want to get this question out. This is one that was on my mind, and I'm just curious as to your thoughts. We have talked about astrology, and I've learned a good amount. And I'm actually probably going to look into a little bit more, just at, you know, this burning sense of curiosity about this thing that I've kind of touched on now that I didn't have as much of a
it's a rabbit hole, so make sure that you, like, put your boots on, because people will be down there for a while, and we may not see you again until next week. Go ahead.
But I'm very curious, what is your feeling on, what is the power, what is the influence, what is it that is causing essentially the effect? So the, you know, the planet is in this place, our moon, Luna, is in this place, you know, we have the sun in this place. What is the power or the influence being exerted? Is it something you think of kind of more of in the realm past the veil, that kind of, you know, spirit realm that is kind of intertwined with this existence? Or is it more of a, you know, kind of a layer of this reality that's just not yet fully known, kind of like gravity was for so long, something like that?
It's such a good question. I don't know that I have that answer. I think that, you know, the science, because I am very science-minded, which is why it makes me angry that it's not scientific. You know what I mean? And my partner is, like, way more science-minded than I am, and we've had heated debates because I'm going, like, trying to defend this thing that I can't really, it just doesn't hold the water with the scientific method. You know what I mean? Like, it's proven to be valid time and time again, but, you know, there's, you know, so I don't know what the guiding force is, really, other than the planets. You know what I mean? Like, if you believe in quantum physics and superposition, like, there is a quantum effect on us. Like, things can be light years apart and be affected simultaneously. Consciousness has energy, you know? Like, that is probably what it is. And I think the reason we can't quantify it is because we can't measure it, but that doesn't mean, just because we don't have the tools yet to measure it, doesn't mean that it's not there.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
So it could be that. I don't have that answer, I suppose.
Well, and I think when it comes to these things that are always in flux, you know, a personality is always in flux. If things look like they were set in stone, like they were going to happen that way when you look back, because it's already happened. It's been written into the book, so to speak. But as we go through each moment, this moment right here, what words I'm choosing to use, it's all being, you know, created, and it's being chosen at that moment. Before that moment, there were an infinite layer of possibilities, which lends itself to the multiverse. But I always have this fundamental law in my mind. It's a very odd statement I've said to people, but essentially, nothing is true all of the time. You know, so there's no one thing that is always the same all of the time that always is true. There's always a constant state of change in this existence. And they even talk about it in the academics, you know, quote unquote scientific community, where things that they measure.
Out why they haven't figured out the theory of everything. Like, you just figured that out. Like, because they can't find the theory of everything, because everything's always changing.
Exactly.
And you can't go ahead.
Oh, I want to hear more.
No, I was just piggybacking on you. You were like 100% correct, and I was like, the fact that everything's changing is probably why they don't have that theory of everything yet. They haven't been able to unify those sciences because you can't do it.
And you know, this leads me into thinking about the fact, you know, and you being very science minded, I'm sure you've seen, you know, the same documentaries and read the same things where, you know, our galaxy is itself in constant motion, our sun in motion around that galaxy, and the constellations are in that same river with us. And so maybe it's these kind of ripples going out. But I also think about how over time, the constellations do change, and will that change the effects in your idea of?
So you have just sorry to cut you off.
Go for it.
Is sidereal astrology. So you've got Western astrology and sidereal astrology, and what is happening is the physical stars shift about 1 degree every 74 years, and so Vedic and sidereal astrology account for that change. And so that's why they're about 24 degrees off. So like if you look at like where the sun is or where the moon, where the, you know, whatever placement is, if you're looking at where it is right now in Western astrology, it's based on the seasons. The first day of spring is always the first day of Aries. The first day of summer is always the first day of Cancer. First day of winter, Capricorn. The first day of autumn is Libra. That's the way it works in Western astrology. Sidereal looks at the actual stars. So if you look out at the moon, when the moon is in Libra, sure, that's what, you know, it says in Western astrology, but you're actually going to see Virgo behind the moon when you physically look out at the moon. And so that, so does it change? Yeah, it changes. If you're over in sidereal astrology, they account for those changes because it's always making, you know, they're always adjusting that every 74 years or so. But over in Western astrology, we're just focused on the seasons and that doesn't change. Well, maybe with global warming, but I don't think that's
See, and that would go along with pantheists, who, the practice of paganism, and seasons and the full moons and where the stars are is when you would celebrate. It, like this year, Yuletide is December 22nd, but that may not be entirely accurate when you take into account where the moon is and all the other stars. So I love what you're saying, Zach. It makes perfect sense. Before we move on, Tabitha has asked, how do we get an astrology reading, Zach? Can we put up your email address?
You can. You can send it to theoptimistuniverse@gmail.com is a good way. You can also find my Facebook page at The Optimist Universe. We can set something up there. I can do, I mean, if you're, you know, we can set it up. I can do Skype. I can do, we can do a Zoom thing. We can do Facebook Messenger, FaceTime, audio, whatever.
Awesome.
You want to work it out.
Awesome. Very cool. Optimist Universe. So there you go. That's where Zach is. And clearly, we appreciate this. Dr. Kevin has written in the chat that your published book is Savage Sonnets. I know we mentioned it in a program, I think, a few months ago. Zach sent me this book, and thank you so much for that. It's really, it's an artful piece of writing. So very insightful, very humbling, and raw. It's really good book. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that.
Very nice.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
That's you should be getting paid for that. That was fantastic.
Oh, I really liked it. I appreciate it. Having
make that into a clip, you know, and play that on YouTube to get some people to come read it. Because, you know, I'm like, all right, I want to get into this. I mean, this is awesome. But
yeah, I think what if I'm kind of that's a stutter. What we're talking about from your point of view, Zach, is that you agree that our understanding of astrology is kind of still, we're like neophytes in a way, and we don't really know, but we know something. And it's really based on, you know, hundreds of years of people, you know, putting in their observations of what personalities are, what star influences are, planetary influences, but we're still learning.
Like as a people, or just like
in our understanding, in our understanding of the stars, and how that influences us.
In terms of like how and why it influences, I think we're kind of new there, but I think that, you know, there's a lot of, we'll just call rabbit holes. There's a lot of self-discovery. I think if anything else, like if you don't use astrology for anything else, using it as a tool to kind of explore yourself and understand parts of yourself that I think that's when it is especially useful. You know, if you learn some astrology and then go around and start shoving people in boxes, that's not really helpful. Yeah. You know, but if you learn astrology and then you use that to, you know, look at yourself in a more analytical way to discover yourself, like maybe you're somebody who doesn't really know, like maybe you're having a hard time deciding what you want to do career-wise. And then you go to your chart and look at your midheaven and you see that your midheaven is in Scorpio. And you literally Google midheaven and Scorpio jobs. And then you get a list of stuff and you're like, oh, this sounds great. Yes, I would love to do this. Finally, somebody gets me. It's been in your pocket the whole time.
Very interesting.
Thank the gods for Google.
You know
what else is really beneficial? Because I had it done for my kids. When each of my kids were born, I had their charts done. And it was so insightful about their predisposition tendencies and helping to kind of get an insight into, you know, because I'm one of those parents. I have one set of rules, but you have to tailor the needs to the child. And it was so helpful. And the same thing with my grandkids. And my daughter, my eldest daughter does, you know, she started dabbling. She's not an astrologer, but, you know, she started looking into astrology. We also had the grandkids charts done. It was so helpful. And you want to kind of get a grasp on who somebody is, just look at their chart. Like I'm a Scorpio, but I'm also, I have an Aquarius moon and I have a Gemini rising. Now, as Zach has said, the moon is the emotional side and I'm more Aquarius that way. But the Gemini rising is how I present myself to the world. Like that's kind of the outward personality.
Very interesting.
And I'm very much Gemini that way. I have dualities in all of my life. I have the very, you know, introspective, introvert, other, and the other that, you know, a friend of mine said, Nikki, you have to learn to be more social. I said, oh, I know how to be social. I just don't like it.
I empathize with that a lot. You know, when you talk about that kind of duality, I've always kind of empathized when I hear about that with Gemini. And I have to say, listening to you both speak with such a, you know, knowledge on this subject, I have to say, when I think about my astrological sign, and here's what I know. I know I'm a Leo, which is the lion, and I know I was born in the Chinese zodiac, the year of the tiger. So I've always rather liked the fact that that's how it worked out, because I love the lion, I love tigers. Just the idea of it. Beyond that, I really don't know what it indicates, which I guess would be fascinating to get into.
I got a snap of a finger knowing of that right now. You too, Zach?
Some of it, yeah, a little bit. Go ahead, Nikki.
No, look, Zach knows way more about astrology than I do. So I only know that I have been on the periphery of astrology for a long time. I do not get the numbers. I don't do the math. I don't get all that other stuff, but I know enough to carry on a brief conversation. But Zach is the expert here, so let's just put all that in perspective. So,
Leo, I can speak from my moon position. Leo is creative. Leo is fun. Leo likes to party. You know, it is they're a fiery sign. You don't want to betray their trust. They will eat you. That is the case with most fire signs, but, you know, Leo is ruled by the sun. So they, you know, and I say this lovingly, but, you know, they have big egos, like, and that's say that lovingly, you know.
Oh, come on.
My moon's there, you know, and so I'm like, emotionally, I want to have my display of, anyway.
I mean, I don't have a big ego. I'm just right about everything and better than other people.
Just
I don't understand.
Everything and everybody. That's it, though. That's it. Just that, you know. I get it. I see you, Leo.
And then the tiger, that kind of goes there. But the thing about the tiger is very nurturing. And the cat is very intuitive. So it kind of complements, you know, if I'm going to draw some kind of a connection to those things. But it's very strong and powerful and don't get in its way.
I'm liking it so far. I'm like, all right, I'm getting...
I have had so many Leo friends in my life, and I get along really well with Leos, because I just let you have your space to talk, because I don't care.
Oh, God, that is such our relationship right there. Me going on and on. Like, I gotta eat now. I'm like, no, here, listen to me talk for at least another 5 minutes.
I'm just teasing you. No, it's just a balance, because I also found that... Leos are very intelligent people. They're very curious people, very intelligent. So,
all right. I'm going to put this on my resume now.
I am also an Aquarius rising, Vicky, so I hear you on the Aquarian, on those Aquarian vibes. You know, everybody else is going right, we're going to go left. We're going to go see what's over here, because this is too much.
And yet I have...
Is that where the people are? I'm going to go this way.
I know. You know, I have two Aquarian daughters, but they're vastly different because all their planets are in totally different houses. And it's really fascinating. What they do have in common, though, in that sun sign is they're very giving, sensitive, intuitive people who... Mm-hmm. They work with purpose. That's one thing about Aquarius. It works with purpose. If it doesn't have purpose, mm-hmm. and it's not giving in the community, it won't bother. Mm-hmm. So that's my take. Do you agree, Zach?
I do, absolutely. I think Aquarians and Pisces tend to be misunderstood. Pisces or Aquarius is the water bearer. You know, so a lot of times people, like, if you're an astrology novice, you just kind of look at Aquarius and think they're a water sign because they got, like, the wavy symbol, you know, and then you got the water bearer and it just feels like a water sign. But really, Aquarians, they handle the emotion. They don't want to get wet. They just want to hold it for everybody else, you know. And so that's why Aquarius, like, the water bearer, they're really great at that emotional sensitivity. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to get in it. You know, but they're definitely more than willing to handle other people's messes in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I have so enjoyed this, and we've gone a full hour, and I hope the whole crowd doesn't mind that we didn't pick cards, because, you know, we'll do that another day for sure.
Well, it would be a crime to stop a good discussion. Jeez.
I know. Zach, I am so glad for you, and I'm so glad that you came on the program tonight. Thank you. I know it's late for you. But that you took the time and had this discussion and share with other people, it's very much appreciated.
Very generous.
I have had such a wonderful time, and I am so thankful for the opportunity and the platform. My Leo Moon thanks you, all of you, and I do hope that I'll get to hear from some of you finding me on my Facebook page. And I hope that we can do it again, because this is like, I love talking about this stuff. And I love talking about it with people who find it interesting, you know?
You know,
well, maybe we'll have you back and we'll talk about tarot and how you and I have different opinions of things. I like that.
Ooh, controversy. It's going to be good for ratings.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. Because we can talk about intuition, how we each have a different take, but it's using our intuition in our interpretations of things. So,
of course. I think it was Vicky's course that she was talking about. Translating versus interpreting, you know, and how there's a lot of layers that kind of happen from the card to the message that comes out of our mouths, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really cool. I'd love to do that.
Absolutely. All right. We'll do it. It's a date. We'll do it in the new year. How's that?
Sounds fab.
I love it. I love it. Oh. And, you know, thanks to Tabitha for putting out that link in chat. So if you're in our live chat, you can see that link in the chat box there. And Dr. Zach, you know, before we wrap it up, what was your most recent published book?
It's called Savage Sonnets, Finding Freedom Through Poetry. And it's got an overturned wheelchair on the front of it. And it is quite savage.
Mm.
Mm. And for those who are not aware, Dr. Zach has MS, and that's just his ride. No pun intended. It's your storyline, but it's also your ride, the wheelchair.
Right.
Because he makes fun, too. Zach has a great sense of humor, and you won't meet anybody more sensitive, enduring, and a stronger spirit than Zach. Honestly, you won't. I'm more lovable.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I so absolutely much. Know it. All right. Well, you know, this has been fantastic. I can't wait till we, you know, catch up after the new year and get into the tarot discussion. And I'm looking forward to hearing these different approaches and these different takes. So, you know, I feel like, you know, I like to engage. I'm like, okay, what can I say that's going to be interesting and add to this discussion? But a lot of times I just want to, you know, grab my popcorn, sit back, and just, you know, listen. So I'll be grabbing my popcorn, and I'm going to be looking forward to the discussion next week. And this has been fantastic.
Yeah, are we having Dr. Mike on next week?
Oh, we are next week. I meant next month and after the new year. For Dr. Zach. But yes, we're having Dr. Mike on next week, and you know, we're going to get into some, I think, some interesting topics. I know we were going to be talking about numbers and kind of, you know, the how they kind of play into a lot of things.
Yes, but and he went to MUFON training.
MUFON training, so definitely UFOs or UAPs, whatever your pleasure. Yeah. And I remember that question from last week, Dr. Mike, about, you know, kind of the, you know, reality of numbers is kind of how I remember, you know, the truth of them, you know, and questioning that. So looking forward to that discussion. Dr. Zach, can't wait to have you back after the new year. And all right, any last thoughts before we wrap up?
Happy full moon. You guys all have a really great, great week, a great year, and a happy full moon. Yes, Vicky. Thanks, guys, again for having me.
Oh, thank you. The pleasure is absolutely all ours. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Dr. Vicky?
No, happy full moon. Thank you again, Zach. And we're closing in on the end of 2022, folks. It's gone by fast. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to next week. I always look forward to our program, Michael. Good.
I'm addicted to it now. I don't think I could stop. So,
and if Dr. Kelly fired us, then we just go do our own show.
I mean, you even the internet goes down, civilization collapses. You'll find me under an underpass talking about random, you know, different interesting things like this. But everyone, stay safe. Can't wait to see you. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.